Chapter 12 again tonight, John chapter number 12. If you were not here this morning, I encourage you to go back and get it because I'm giving you part two to the message that I began this morning on these things. We're preaching through the Gospel of John. We've come to John chapter 12, verse 37, down through the end of the chapter, verse number 50. I take my title out of the first two words of verse 41, on these things, and I'm preaching to you part number two tonight. When you find it, we'll bow for a word of prayer. Even if you're still looking, some of you will still bow for a word of prayer, okay? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the service tonight, and I pray that you'll help us to be faithful to you as we open the Word of God, as we preach it. I pray that you be the preacher. May your will be done, speak to our hearts, change our lives, challenge us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of this will be repeat as far as introduction is concerned. As we come to these verses, the Lord Jesus had been speaking of himself as being the Son of Man. He had spoken of his coming death and how the world would be judged and the devil would be defeated. We saw him encourage the people to believe in the light, his light, while there was time, or there would be darkness instead. In verse number 36, the Lord departed and hid himself from these people. And when you come to verse number 37 through the end of the chapter here, you see this chapter divided, these verses from 37 to 50, into three separate major thoughts. And I put these thoughts under the two words, these things. And as we look at these things, I'm trusting that you're asking God to speak to your heart. First one of these things we preached on this morning, and that was the commentary of unbelief. And we looked at how unbelief is in spite of all clear evidence. We looked at how unbelief gambles with the soul because God can shut the door any moment. And we looked at how unbelief is something that rejects Jesus as being Jehovah God of the Old Testament. And we pick up tonight with our study through these verses with verse number 42. And I give you the second one of these things. Not only the commentary of unbelief, but number two, here's where we pick up. We see the cause of secrecy. The cause of secrecy. Look at verse number 42 and let's read this together. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. I call this secrecy. In other words, the Word of God says there were many who believed on him, but they tried to keep it a secret. And I look at this and I see the cause of secrecy. May I say this to you tonight? There are some of God's children tonight scattered around the globe who will go to work tomorrow and nobody that you work with knows that you are in church on Sunday. Because there are people who try to keep it a secret. They try to hide it under a bushel. They try to just not go all out for Jesus Christ. And I submit to you right here in these verses, we see three reasons why people do that. The cause of secrecy. See, these verses tell us that there were many among the chief rulers who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. There's a reason comes out there. The reason was they didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. There's reason number two. I'll explain this momentarily. And then the Word of God says that they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. There's number three. In this we see those who tried to keep their faith in God as a secret and keep it a secret so as not to be ridiculed for it. There's several things it caused their secrecy at this time that we can learn from. And while they should have been bold for Christ, and they should have told everybody that they believed on the Son of God, they were secret believers. And the three reasons are, and I give them, number one, the fear of man. I get that from where it says, because the Pharisees. The fear of man is the reason that they were trying to keep it secret. Number two, the fear of excommunication or just being separated from other people. I get that from the phrase, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, verse 42. Reason number three, the praise of men. I get that from verse number 43. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. May I say to you that while there is debate as to whether these were true Christians or not, there's debate. Good people differ on that. Were they truly believers or not? In other words, is that just a head knowledge or is that a heart knowledge? I'm not here to prove which one it is. I'm not here to debate that. What I'm here to say is the point is these three things that drove their secrecy are three things that can drive our secrecy. Because the fact of the matter is there are people today who never come out boldly for the Lord Jesus Christ because they fear man, they don't want to be cast out, and they simply want man's praise instead of God's. This is no way to live life. Let us determine to confess the Lord Jesus Christ and stand boldly for His glory. Don't be ashamed to let the world know, I believe in Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't try to keep that a secret. May I say to you that we ought to fear God, not man. We ought not to care about certain positions in life. You realize there are some people who try to keep their faith in Jesus a secret because they're afraid of what it might cost them if they come out and tell somebody about it. That's the point at second number right here. They feared excommunication. They didn't want to lose their position. May I say this to you? What kind of a price is worth selling out the Lord Jesus Christ? There is nothing more important than knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Nothing. 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 And there's no position on earth that should mean more to us than our position in Jesus Christ. They feared man. They feared the Pharisees. They feared being put out of the synagogue. I might lose my position. And they wanted the praise of men more than the praise of God. Friends, let us live for God's praise, not man's praise. The Life Application Study Bible, King James Version, said we should be concerned much more about God's eternal acceptance than the temporary approval of other people. There are some people today, there are teenagers, there are children, there are adults, there are young adults, middle-aged adults, older adults. There are all stages of life, some Christians who are trying to be secret disciples, trying to be secret followers of Jesus Christ, trying to keep it a secret. And the Word of God tells us here the reason that these people who believed on Him, the reason they didn't confess Him openly, the reason they didn't come out boldly and say, I'm one of the ones that believes Him. I believe that He is who He says He is. Why didn't they do it? Because they feared the Pharisees. They didn't want to be kicked out of the synagogue. And they wanted to be praised by man instead of praised by God. Those are three same reasons why people try to keep it a secret today. Friends, may we be bold as a lion for Jesus Christ. Harry Ironside said, I remember when I was a little boy how my mother would draw me to her knee and speak to me so solemnly of the importance of trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. He said, I would say, well, Mama, I would like to do it, but the boys will laugh at me. And he said, Mother used to say, and I quote, Harry, remember, they may laugh you into hell, but they can never laugh you out of it. And oh, he's quoting here, and oh, how that used to go home to me, and it stayed with me all through the years. Yes, men may sneer and ridicule and not understand us as we come out for Christ, but after all, He is the only approval worth having. I say amen to that. Let me tell you, when we get in trouble as Christians and we start becoming cold and callous and all these kind of things, and our witness starts dulling off. Hey, be honest. What is one of the major things the devil uses to combat telling other people about Jesus Christ? Let me tell you what it is. F-E-A-R. Fear. What are they going to say? Who's going to come behind the door? What's going to happen? Will they reject me? Will they not? Let me tell you what he tries to use when you're trying to win your family member to Christ. You ever heard this? The hardest people to win is your family members. You ever heard this? The hardest people to witness to is your family members. I agree. I'll tell you why. Because you don't want to be disapproved by them. You don't want to be excommunicated. You don't want to be kicked out. You understand what I'm saying? It's the same thing right here. We need to come out boldly for the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I am among those that believe on him. And not fear man, not fear excommunication, and not desire the praise of man, but rather desire the praise of God. There's a little poem that goes, Jesus, and shall it ever be a mortal man ashamed of thee? Ashamed of thee whom angels praise, whose glories shine through endless days? Think about this. Man ashamed of God. Think about it. And may I say this to you? I've been guilty of that. You ever know that God wants you to give a tract to somebody and you didn't do it? Because you're a little bit intimidated? Let me tell you what happened at that moment. You're just like these disciples right here. Just like these secret believers. You would not come out. I would not come out at that moment. Because I was either fearing man, I didn't want to be rejected, or I was more concerned about what he thinks of me than what God thinks. Simple, isn't it? This is plowing right on our level here. Because these are the same three reasons that are the cause for secrecy today. Let me challenge all of us. Don't be a secret follower of Jesus Christ. Get out in front of the limelight and say, I am among those that believe. And tell the world about him. This is number two. Number one, the commentary on unbelief. Number two tonight, we see the cause of secrecy. Just tying ourselves down to these verses, why did they not confess him? Why were they trying to keep their belief a secret? Why would they not let everybody know? What was the cause? Because of the Pharisees. They didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. They wanted to be accepted, and they feared man, and they wanted man to be pleased with them instead of worrying about what God was pleased with. Then let me give you number three. By the way, may God help me to be a Christian who fears God alone. May God help me to be a Christian that does not care if I lose position on planet Earth if I give the gospel. May God help me to care more about what he thinks than what any man thinks. We need Christians like this to stand up in America. We need men of God to stand up like this in our homes. We need ladies of God to stand up like this and say, God, help me not to try to keep it a secret, but help me to be bold for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is number two. Number three, we see not only the commentary of unbelief and the cause of secrecy, but number three, we see the cry of Jesus. I get this from verses 44 and following. Notice this, Jesus cried. That's where I get the cry of Jesus. He cried. Jesus cried and said, now that doesn't mean he's boo-hooing, okay, friends? You look that word cried up, it means he's yelling this out. He's lifting his voice as he says this. He's protruding it like a trumpet. He's crying it out. He's shrieking it out. He's exclaiming this kind of thing. And said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. He that seeth me seeth he that sent me. I'm come a light in the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment that what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. The cry of Jesus. At this point, the Lord Jesus cried out. He exclaimed, he shrieked, he shouted some things. And it's what he cried that I want to focus on. There's several things he said. Let me ask you a question. Wouldn't you love to hear him cry this out that day? I mean, we can only imagine how loud he got. It's pure speculation. But we do know the word cried there. When you look it up, it means aloud. It means he shrieked, he shouted, so to speak. So I'm not going to blow your eardrums out, but I am going to give you just a little bit of a drama tonight, if I can do that. I want you to pretend with me that I am Jesus Christ. Now, please pretend with me. If anybody goes and says the preacher said he was Jesus, then that just proves you were not listening to me, okay? Let's travel back into time. And let's hear the Son of God lift his voice and cry out some things. And I'm going to tell you what it means. First of all, verses 44 and 45. Use your mind's eye. Travel back in time with me. Will you do it? Travel back in time. And all of a sudden, see, the Son of God's not spoken yet. Up to the point of what we've preached so far, the Son of God's not spoken. The Word of God is speaking, but the Son of God is silent. And all of a sudden, Jesus steps up. And he lifts his voice and he says, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me." First thing he cried, "I am God. I am God." Now, we've already preached on this from this morning, but this is just another way that he brings out his deity. See, throughout the book of John, the Lord Jesus often claims his deity. That's what he's doing. And this is another one of those times. He told these people, he said, "Listen, if you believe on me, you're not really believing on me. You're believing on the Father." Then he said, "If you see me, you don't see me. You're looking at the Father." What else can he be saying but that he and the Father are one? He is God. He is eternal God. And he's saying, if you desire to know what the Father's like, just take a good look at me, because that's who I am. I can't explain that, friends. John 1:18 says, "No man has seen God at any time." Semicolon. "The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." You know what that means? You want to know who the Father is? Look at Jesus. That's who the Father is. That's what it means. In this, he's claiming to be one with the Heavenly Father. He's claiming to be the God of eternity. Interesting, John 8:9 says, "Then said they unto him, Where is the Father? Where is the Father?" Jesus answered, "Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also." Here's a powerful portion of Scripture, John 14:8-9. We'll preach on that when we get to it, but listen to these verses. "Philip saith unto him," Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus talking about the Father, and Philip comes up and says, "Lord, just let us see the Father. Show us the Father, and it'll satisfy us." And it's such a profound thing that Jesus said. "Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip?" Wow. Try to get to the depth of that statement. "He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" What a cry he made on that day. No mere man could step up and say, "He that believeth on me believeth on the Father." No mere man could say, "He that seeth me sees the Father." No man could say that. But God could say that. And he's saying, "I am God." That's his cry. Cry number 2, verse number 46. He goes on and he cries and he says, "I am come a light in the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Cry number 2. "I am the light of the world." This is what he's saying. He cried and said that he is light, and his light dispels darkness. In other words, he's saying, "I am the deliverance from spiritual darkness of sin. And without my light, you will die in darkness, and you will spend eternity in the place of outer darkness." John 9:5, Jesus said, "As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." John 8:12, "Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Cry number 1, "I am God." Cry number 2, "I am light, and there's no darkness in me. I dispel the darkness." Cry number 3 is found in verse number 47. He cries on and says, "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." Glory to God. Cry number 3, during his first advent, his first coming, he did not come to judge the world. He says it right here. What's the third cry? When he cries this out, "If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I'm not come to judge the world at that moment, but I came to save the world." Cry number 3, I just said it. I came to save the world. That's why he came. The Lord Jesus cried on that day, and he said the reason he had come was not to judge man. The reason he had come was to save the world. In this we see the reason for his first coming was to be the Savior of the world. He loves the world, and he desires for the world to be saved. This is what he cried on that day. He had come not to condemn, but to save. Oh, what a merciful God Jesus is. This is what he's cried. He wanted them to know that day. He knew the first part of these verses, verse 37, that he had done so many miracles in front of them, and yet they would not believe. And there was a time where they could not believe. And he knew that there were some in the crowd who were believing on him, but they were secret believers because they feared man. They didn't fear God. They were tied to a position on earth, and they didn't want to risk losing that position. And they wanted man's praise instead of God's. And while the Son of God could have stood up on his hind legs, so to speak, and say, "You either believe or else judgment will fall," he did not do that. He said, "If any man hear not my words, I will not judge him. For I came not to judge the world, but I came that the world might be saved." Do you see his tender heart here? Do you hear his desire here? His desire is that the world might be saved. John 3:17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Luke 9:56, "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." 1 John 4:14, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." God loves the world. You know what that means? That means He loves you. You know what that means? That means He loves them. You know what that means? That means He loves your neighbor. And that means He loves your coworker. And that means He loves those in India, and He loves those in China, and He loves those in Fiji, and He loves those over here in Jamaica. He loves those here and in Japan. He loves the world. Jesus Christ came not to judge the world. He came to save the world. Glory to God. That's a blessing. Hey, that ought to encourage your heart a little bit tonight. Let me give you the fourth thing he cried out. Look at verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Here's the fourth thing he cried on that day. My word will be man's judge in the last day. This is found in this verse. The Lord told these people that those who reject Him and His word was going to be judged by His word. That's what He said. In the last day. Now, when you think about this, there are a couple thoughts I want to give you under this. Number one, there is a last day coming. God spoke to me about this. Every day we have is a gift from Almighty God. How many days have you experienced? How many days have come and gone in history? The Lord spoke to me here by reminding me that there is a last day coming. And I've got in my notes, oh, what a motivation this should be. One man said, there's a time appointed by the Father when the whole machinery of creation shall stop. It had a beginning, it shall also have an end. Banks shall at length close their doors forever. Stock exchanges shall be shut. Parliament shall be dissolved. The very sun, which since Noah's flood has done his daily work so faithfully, shall rise and set no more. Well would it be if we thought more of this day. Rent days, birthdays, wedding days are often regarded as days of absorbing interest, but they are nothing compared to the last day. That man went on to say, let the judgment day be the Christian's answer and apology when men ridicule him as too strict, too precise, and too particular in his religion. Irreligion may do tolerably well for a season, so long as a man is in health and prosperous and looks at nothing but this world. But he who believes that he must give account to the judge of quick and dead at his appearing in kingdom will never be content with an ungodly life. He'll never say there's a judgment. I can never serve God too much. Christ died for me. I can never do too much for Him. Listen to me, friends. If we truly have our eyes on the last day and it's coming, if you have your eyes on there's a last day coming, it is coming. It's there. It's already set. And if we keep our eye on the last day, it'll help us live right and finish right for the glory of Almighty God. As each day dawns in our lives, may we realize that the last day is coming. Judgment will come. Acts 17:31. Because He, God the Father, hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, talking about Jesus, whereof He hath given assurance unto all, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. May I paraphrase what that means? God the Father has appointed a day in which He's going to judge the world in righteousness by Jesus Christ. And He gave proof of that with the empty tomb. When Jesus came out of the grave, God the Father said, there is a judgment day coming. And we all need to keep our eyes on that. Number two under this, God's word will judge Christ's rejectors. You know the word rejecteth here in verse number 48, he that rejecteth me, that word rejecteth there means to set aside. It means to disesteem or to bring to naught. It's the idea of counting it as nothing. That's what it means. He that rejecteth me, Jesus said. Put it this way. I even hesitate, but let's just say that this roll of tape here is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Has no ending, has no beginning, he's a circle. He says, he that takes me, and just puts me to the side. He that counts me as nothing. He that says, I don't need you. He says, for those kind of people, their judge is going to be my word. What I say will judge them in the last day. The word of God that people reject will be the same word of God that judges them on the last day. There's a story, it says recently, I was in the Bahamas, this is a man saying this, where people drive on the left side of the road. And he said, suppose I were to hire a car there and started driving down the right side of the road instead of the left side. Say, suppose I'm pulled over by a policeman and taken before the judge and found guilty because I'm driving on the wrong side of the road. And the judge asked, do you have something to say? And he said, let's just say that I replied, well, in the United States and Canada, everybody drives on the right side of the road. He said, the judge would say, you're not being judged by the laws of the United States and Canada, sir. You should have acquainted yourself with the laws by which you would be judged. Your ignorance and your negligence are no excuse in this courtroom. May I say this to you? That's going to be the way it is in heaven. Well, I thought. Well, I always heard. Well, I expected. No, no, no. God has sent his Son into the world to save the world. The Word was made flesh to dwell among flesh so that he may die in the flesh, to make flesh. I'm talking about making the spirit savable, the soul savable. God is in these last days, the Word of God says, spoken to us by his Son. He has no more to say. When it comes to salvation, let this speak to your heart. God the Father has spoken. The Lord Jesus Christ has spoken. The Son of God has spoken. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, have everlasting life. On and on we could go. God has spoken about salvation. Are you listening to me? He is through speaking. He has spoken. And he will not speak again. Until the last day. And in the last day, all these unbelievers who rejected him and counted him as nothing, God's going to call his word to the stand and say, here's what I said. This will be your judge. John 5:45 says, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. He's not talking about the man. He's talking about the books the man wrote. He's talking about the Word of God. Romans 2:12, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Cry number four he made, my word will judge Christ's rejectors. And it concludes with a fifth cry, and is found in verses 49 and 50. He lifts his voice again and says, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Cry number five. "What I speak to you comes from the Father for your benefit." This is what he's saying. In this we see the Lord telling these people that what he was speaking had the authority of the Heavenly Father, because his Father commanded him to speak these words, and these words are everlasting life. In this, let us realize that everything the Lord Jesus Christ was saying was for the spiritual benefit of his listeners. He wasn't speaking this to say, "Look what's coming to you, look what's coming to you." No, he says, "What I'm speaking to you, they are the words of life everlasting." Yet once again, he's telling them, "What I'm saying to you, you need this." He's saying that the Word of God can give you hope. And the Word of God is the only answer to life. In the same way, all of God's children should strive to speak the words that the Heavenly Father has commanded. We do not have to go searching for a message to give people hope in this lost and dying world. We have the message. It's His Word. Let us give it boldly like the Lord Jesus Christ did. Let us not water it down. Let us not make people think there's another way. God's way is the only way. And this needs to be preached like Jesus Christ did that day. See the blessed Son of God loving those people too much. He loved them too much to give them false hope. He said, "Everything I'm saying to you, the Father has commanded me to tell you. And I know that everything He's telling me to tell you is for everlasting life." Once again, mercy and grace. In these closing verses, we've noticed three things. The commentary of unbelief, I preached on that this morning. The cause of secrecy. Some people believe on Jesus, but they try to keep it a secret. Why? Because they fear man. They fear it might cost them something in this world. And they're worried too much about what man thinks instead of what God thinks. The cry of Jesus. What did he cry that day? He cried, number one, that he is God. He cried, number two, that he is light. He cried, number three, that he didn't come to judge the world. He came to save the world. He cried, number four, that his word that he was giving would be called to the stand on the judgment day. And he cried on that day that everything he was speaking what his Father commanded him to say. And if they would just listen and heed, they would find everlasting life. Beautiful story, isn't it? And may God help us to learn tonight with the calls of secrecy and the cry of Jesus. Let us be bold in telling others that He is mine and I am His. And let us keep the last day in mind. It's coming. And may we spend the rest of our days speaking the words of the Heavenly Father to a lost and dying world. Because every now and then, somebody's going to listen, somebody's going to heed, and somebody's going to find eternal life. I'm reminded of this young man that came this morning. He may be here tonight, I'm not sure. been coming for a while. God bless him. Responded to the message this morning. God spoke to his heart, broke his heart. Brother Brad took him and shared the gospel with him during invitation time. And while we were being dismissed, he was being led to Jesus Christ right up here. And today he believes today is the day when he truly trusted Christ as his Savior. Let me ask you a question. Will they all believe? No. The Word of God even says that. But some of them will. Some of them will. And what a privilege that just like the Son of Man stood and cried with a loud voice. You know what we're to tell a lost and dying world? He is God. He didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you. See where I'm going with this? What are we to tell the world? That if you don't listen to what he says, it's going to judge you one of these days. And everything I'm saying, it's not my word, it's God's. And if you'll just listen to it, you'll find everlasting life. See where I'm going with this tonight? Our cry should be his cry. Will you do it? Will you cry it this week? Will you come out boldly this week? And will you speak with the boldness of a lion, telling the world Jesus wants to save? Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you tonight. Help us to trust you, to believe you, and to obey you. Deal with us thoroughly. Speak to our hearts. Help Christians tonight to determine to be bold, not to be a secret believer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If God is speaking to you, you ought to thank him for it. And as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly tonight. Do you know that there's been a time where you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? Do you know that there's been a time where you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Or is there a doubt in your heart and in your mind? Or maybe God's speaking to you like he was speaking to the young man this morning, and you need to place your faith and trust in Christ. As they begin to play through softly, let me ask you a question, Christian. Have you been trying to keep it a secret? Is there something maybe going on at work that you're afraid if you say something about your faith that you might lose your work, or you might lose your position, you might not get that raise if you say something, or you might not get that promotion? Friends, it's time we stop thinking about this world. It's time we stop thinking about what other people think. It's time we stop trying to please man and just please God, period. Let God take care of all of it. Is he worth it? Amen. Have you tonight say, Jody, God is speaking to me, and I want to be bold for Jesus. This doesn't mean that you're not being. It doesn't mean that you're being a secret believer. I'm not asking that. I'm not asking that at all. I'm just saying, is God speaking to you saying, I want to be bold for Jesus? I really do. I want to be a bold Christian. I don't want to keep it a secret. I don't want to try to hide it under a bushel. I want to let it shine as brightly as it possibly can. And I want to commit myself to be a bold Christian for Jesus Christ. Have you God speaking to you in that way? Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. Boy, that's several of you. God bless you. Thank you. Just a moment, I'm going to ask you to respond. Ask God to give you holy boldness. We all need it. All of us. Hey, you're fooling yourself if you think that you're not going to be tempted to fear man. You're fooling yourself if you think you're not going to be tempted to worry about a position or losing something in this world. You're fooling yourself if you think that you're never going to be tempted about pleasing man above God. You're fooling yourself. You're going to be tempted with these same three things. But may God help us at that moment to be bold for him and not try to keep it a secret. Or maybe God's speaking to you tonight about crying the same thing that he did. Isn't it interesting that right after the two verses where there were those many who tried to keep it a secret, that the next verse says Jesus cried some things out? Isn't that interesting? while some of them were trying to keep their mouths shut, the Son of God lifted his voice, boldly proclaimed some things. God wants us to lift our voice and boldly proclaim these same things. Why don't we ask God to help us do it? We'll ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. And if God is speaking to you, if you need to be saved tonight, or if you just want to come and say, God, help me never to be a secret follower. Help me to be a bold Christian. And help me to, I mean, to lift my voice unashamed, telling people the words of the Heavenly Father, the words of everlasting life. As he sings, would you come now? Come now, would you do it?
Have
he's beginning to sing.
Way,
you say, make me bold, Lord. Give me holy bold. Help me not to keep it a secret. Help me to lift my voice
absolutely
and boldly proclaim he is God.
Fill with thy spirit.
That he is the answer. That he is light. That he came to save the world.
Christ,
that the word of God will judge people. Boldly proclaim that he is who he says he is. As he keeps singing, there's time for you.
Have thine own way,
come talk to God about it.
Lord,
ask God to give you boldness.
Have thine own way.
Lift your voice.
Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit. Christ only, always living in me.
They're playing through softly. We're just about done. You can look this way. I'm going to sing one more verse, Brother Gary, here to close things out if nobody else comes. Would you agree with me that we all need boldness? Would you agree with me that what this world needs are for Christians to mimic the Son of God? And even in the midst of unbelievers like the Lord was, to stand to their feet and boldly proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. My dad's not here tonight. He's been struggling with a little bit of sickness. I was so proud of him just a little while ago. Daniel Boone High School, they inducted the first class of Hall of Fame coaches and administrators. And my dad was one of them. They let each one of them speak. And I sat at that round table and I watched my dad take his hand and pound the pulpit. And look at all those folks there. Look up at the students in the balcony. And so let me tell you what gets me through. He said, his name is Jesus Christ. And he basically said, if you don't know him, you need to trust him as your Savior. So proud of my dad. He showed boldness that day. God, give us boldness. One day when we see the Lord, we will wish that we were just a little bit more bold. Will you join me? The Word of God says in the New Testament that he is not ashamed to be called their God. Did you hear what I said? He is not ashamed to be called their God. But how many of us have been ashamed to tell a mere human being that He's our God? Can we sing just one more verse? Maybe God is still dealing, still speaking. Let's bow our heads one more time. We're just about done. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to sing. I may sing with him here. If God is speaking to you, leave your place and come. Would you do it as he sings? Come now. Would you do it? There's time for you.
Have thine own way.
Give me boldness,
Lord.
God.
Have thine own way.
Give us holy boldness, dear Lord.
Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only.
Ask Brother Scott Collier, sir, if you wouldn't mind up in the balcony to stand, lift your voice, and ask God to give this church holy boldness. Thank you for being here tonight. Be back on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. God bless you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with us here today, Lord. We love you. Thank you for loving us. Father, we pray a great challenge here tonight about being bold for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for what he did at Calvary. Lord, we ask that you help us all. Lord, help us to stand up, make a stand. As we heard last night in the men's meeting, it starts with me. It starts with the individual. Lord, may you help us get a hold of it. May you work through us. May you get all the honor and glory that you deserve. We love you. Thank you for loving us. May you keep us all safe. Lord, may we all be right back where we're supposed to be Wednesday. Lord, get full of your word. Let's pray it all. In Christ's name. Amen.